This morning, I intend to offer some thoughts on fatherhood and Father's Day, and then we will proceed as usual in a moment when Phil will be preaching from the book of Genesis as we go along in our series. But I wanted to talk about our duty to each other and to the world as adopted children of God to shine the light of truth into dark places. Therefore, we affirm fatherhood, just as we said a few weeks ago, that we affirm motherhood. These are good things. And so we go against the spirit of the age, and we herald fatherhood as a good and necessary thing, necessary to human flourishing. And we remind the world that fatherlessness is outside of God's good design for human society. And whenever we get outside of God's good design, there is pain and there is suffering. On Mother's Day a few weeks ago, I spoke to the children. I spoke to mothers and wives. I spoke specifically to dads. And I spoke to adults in general, the church family. And I want to follow that pattern this morning. How can we be a light to the world by exalting the institution of fatherhood? And I want to speak first to the children. And I want to remind you of something I've reminded you of many times before. This is part of the reason we want you here and listening. Here's what the scriptures say, young people. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So God wants you to have a good life. He wants you to have a long life on the earth. He wants you to flourish, and he gave you your parents to help make that happen. That's part of the reason why divorce is so tragic, because of how it affects children every single time. There is such a thing as mediated authority, children, and all that means is that God's authority flows down to you through your parents. So it is true to say, children, that if you dishonor your parents, you are dishonoring your Maker. If you disobey your parents, you are disobeying your God. And he commands you to obey your parents because he loves you. Secondly, I want to talk to wives and mothers. And I want to say this. We are, as you know, living in an age of great rebellion. You can see it all over, both in subtle ways and in obvious ways. But we still believe the word of God. We still believe that God has placed the father as an authority in the home. We believe that. We're not ashamed of that. And we have to recognize that. And ladies, we have to submit to that. I don't know how else to say this. Those who rebel against this prove to be of the world, not of the word. And it cannot end well for them, nor for their families. If moms do not respect and honor their husbands, they can expect their children not to respect and honor their parents, their fathers specifically. If you set an example of worldliness in the home, it will be your children who suffer most for that. And so I plead with you in love to accept God's best for you and for your family. And I'm confident you will. Dads, I know that your job is difficult. I know it is tough to be a dad because I are one. It's hard. And I want to assure you that God's grace is sufficient for you. That grace, the grace to father your children well, will come to you in many forms and in many different ways, one of which is through allied partners. That's how God's grace will come to you. I want to tell you a tale of two fathers. And some of you have heard one or maybe even both of these stories, and so I apologize. But they may be worth repeating this morning. When I was a senior in college, I was minding my own business, sitting on the porch of my apartment downtown Anderson, and a bus rolled up to a stop, and kids got off the bus, and one of those kids, a high school student, I suppose, said something very disrespectful to a young lady in his presence, and he used some colorful language, and I took it upon myself to call out to him and said, "Hey, you need to show some respect," at which point he offered some suggestions for me in some very colorful language. Now, I was not always practicing good wisdom in those days, and so I reacted more than I thought through what I should do, and I leapt off the porch, and I gave chase. Well, he was with five friends, and so the sixth of them ran down the street with me chasing, and I had no idea what I was going to do if I caught them. Well, at a certain point, they realized how foolish it is, or it was, for six people to run away from one guy, so they all stopped, and I stopped, and there we were, and they formed a semicircle around me, and that boy just let me have it. He used all kinds of words to express himself, and when he was done, he started to walk away, and I said, "Oh, no, you don't." And so I reached out and I grabbed his arm and I pulled him back in and we had a little lesson. And I gave him a lecture on respect. And I guess they decided that they didn't want to beat me up after all, or thought maybe I was crazy. But for whatever reason, they left and I went my way. I didn't make it back to my apartment, which is just a couple blocks away, before a car rolled up. And here was the boy in the passenger seat and there was his dad. And his dad revealed to me where it was that his son had learned some of his colorful words. And really read me the riot act, threatened me both physically and legally, and then we parted ways. I never forgot that experience. I want to contrast that with a story that happened probably 7 or 8 years ago that I know some of you have heard before. I was hunting with Titus down in southern Ohio. We have a little piece of land, my dad and I, and Titus and I were hunting there, and it was youth season, beautiful evening, and it has always amazed me why, when there are tens of thousands of acres of public ground all around us, the trespassers have to find their way to our property to steal our tree stands, to whatever, throw their litter out and everything. And at a certain point, you kind of get fed up with that. Well, we had had a string of incidents lately, and so I wasn't particularly happy with all of the trespassing that was going on. Well, we were sitting in our blind, and I heard a shot, and it sounded like it was close enough to be maybe on our ground. In a couple moments, I looked up, and I saw somebody in an orange vest right there in front of us, 50 yards away. And once again, without thinking too much, I leapt out of the blind and marched up to this man who turned out to be a young man, 16 years old. And I said, "Hand me the shells out of your gun." And I must have looked mad because he unloaded his gun and he was like this and nearly dropping them. And I took a picture of him. And I said, "Who's with you?" And he said, "My friend, you know." And I said, "Call him over here." So he called to his friend. His friend came over and was, you know, "Oh, who's this guy?" Took a picture of that guy. And his friend said, "Now, my cousin is down by the railroad tracks. Would you want me to call to him?" And I thought, "Yeah, let's have a party." So I said, "Yeah, call him up here." So he walked up to the ridge. And as soon as he did, took off running. So I turned to this 16-year-old kid and I said, "Is that your friend?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, I'm going to repeat the question. I said, for all he knows, I'm going to kill you and throw you in the swamp. His eyes got real big. And I said, I'm not going to do that. All I'm saying is that for all he knows, he doesn't know what I'm going to do to you. Is that your friend? And he said, no. He said, he's not my friend, is he? I said, no. And he said, you know, my dad tells me I shouldn't hang around with him. It was an older, maybe in his mid-20s. He said, my dad tells me I shouldn't hang around with him. And I said, well, why wouldn't you listen to your dad? Maybe your dad has some wisdom. And so we embarked on a long conversation, maybe an hour or so. We sat down there. The sun set. It got dark. We talked about life. We talked about God. We talked about mediated authority in our lives and how he is to obey his dad and listen to his dad. Great conversation. All of a sudden, it's dark. And so I handed this kid, his name was Jordan, I handed him my flashlight. And Titus and I weren't going to have any trouble getting out. So I said, take this flashlight, find your way home. I said, but meet me back here in the morning because I want my flashlight back. Well, I went home that night thinking, that's the last time I'll ever see that flashlight. But I thought, just on the off chance he might come back in the morning, I'm going to go wait there for him. And sure enough, he came back, but he wasn't by himself. He brought his dad with him. Now, I was having flashbacks to that time back in Anderson. I'm like, what am I in for? His dad walked up to me. He apologized. He said, I have raised my son better than this. He instructed me, if you ever see him out here again, I want you to find a hickory switch in a tree. He said, you have my permission to use it. And he thanked me for the words that I offered to his son. And I got my flashlight back. Two different dads, two different approaches. For which of these sons would you have more hope? You know, the difference is not simply that the one father was trying harder than the other. I think that's true. The difference is that the one father had more humility than the other. The one father recognized the friend and the other one didn't. And in fairness, the first one probably hadn't exactly earned the right to speak into his son's life. And so maybe we'll cut him some slack. But that second father, the humility to say, thank you. Thank you. I said earlier that God's grace will come to us in different forms and in different ways. One of those ways, folks, that God's grace, the grace that allows us to father our children well, one of those ways is through others, through allied partners, through people speaking into our lives, through brothers here at church. If only we'll have the humility to accept that. And I'll be the first to say, I need that from you. I am a long, long way from the kind of dad that I need to be. I need from fellow men in this church, I need counsel. I need accountability. I need wisdom. If you see an issue with my children or with me, you have the invitation to approach me. Not because I'm trying to set some example of humility, but because I genuinely need it. We need each other. Don't forsake that grace. Don't forsake that grace. And let me say to all of us now, there is a fine line between helping and meddling, right? We know that. And so it's going to take some wisdom for us to know how to approach one another. But don't let that fear stop you from being a vessel of God's grace in the life of a brother.